Blog Talk Radio.
It's the emotion picture. Blog Talk Radio. Tune in. Sometimes we get emotional. Things that we be going through, a way to get it out without sounding clowny is overdue. I go in the vocal booth, but that's just the chosen few. You don't gotta suffer from love issues, there's hope for you. You stuck in the homie zone, don't know the rules. Relationship ended, you need closure soon. Or you trying to spice up your sex life, we got Jet Set Jazz to help you and maybe show you moves. And victorious will interject with intellect in case you go from friends to sex to lovers, or you get rejection, or you feeling disrespect and don't know how to deal. We ain't judging, we just touch on subjects, we know how you feel. Call in. Got our host game so official, it's deep even when we plan. You know it's called the emotion picture, cause you can see what we be saying. Tune in.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Emotion Picture Radio Show. I am your host, Jet Setting Jasmine, and tonight we have a very, very jam-packed, very important show, and we have some fabulous guests on, so I hope that you stay with us this hour. I just wanted to make a special announcement tonight. This is one of the shows that you don't have to ask your teenager or your preteen to leave the room or any young adult. We want them to stay in here with us. Tonight's topic is about teens, for teens and parents of teens or anyone that spends some time with youth. So please stay in the room with us. Just want to check in. I know Vic is going to be joining us in just about midway through into the show, so we'll look forward to him coming on. And is Shaw with us tonight? Okay. Well, I kind of anticipated being with the ladies alone just to start the show off. So I am going to just tell everybody tonight we are talking about teen dating abuse, whether you consider that teen violence, dating violence, domestic violence, what interpersonal violence. Tonight we will be talking about violence amongst interpersonal relationships with teenagers. And we have special guests, the leading ladies, and their mentor, their leader. And we're going to introduce them in just a moment and get some insight on teens against dating violence. So one of the things that led us to organizing tonight's show is, one, if you've been following along in the emotion picture over the last 3 years, you know that we talk about issues surrounding violence and really any type of ills in relationships, and this particular topic we hold very dear to us. We'll share some of our personal experiences with dating and domestic violence, but also this month of October is Stop the Violence and Domestic Violence. We have a series of events coming up where we're doing some fundraisers and charitable events to support those that may have been affected by domestic violence, families that may be affected by domestic violence, and providing some support to those ladies and those families. And I think I better also say this. You may hear me reference the ladies experiencing domestic violence or helping those families, but it's super important that we realize that domestic violence is not, it's not only an experience that women go through. It is an experience that men, women, same-sex couples, and entire families are affected by. So I think those are all of my disclaimers for the night. I guess about a year ago, I'll share my little one-minute experience on the topic, and then we can segue into a song as we prep our guests to come on and share more about teen violence. But my personal experience is that my first experience with domestic violence was as a teenager. In fact, I was 19, and we'll talk a little bit about college, you know, being in college and being exposed and what a high rate of men and women experience dating violence. But I was in a domestic violence relationship with the father of both of my children, who one is listening in tonight as she is a teenager, and I think it's so important that our children are aware of the dangers that are out there. And our relationship lasted into about 5 years into you know, my beginning of adulthood. So I think this topic is near and dear to me, because a lot of the things that were going on in my relationship as a teenager, I had no idea that this is what people really consider domestic violence. So giving it a name and a space, and giving our youth an opportunity to share and to hear some insight, and also for those that are listening, a way to get help and get more information, I think is extremely important. So we will be back in just a moment. We're going to have a musical selection by DNN, and these voices will be very familiar to you because this is a musical selection by our guest tonight. So Nikki Blue, if you don't mind playing Love Yourself. And
DNN, yeah, new joint. We coming back with a new track. You already know. For the ladies. DNN, yeah.
Okay. Ladies, love yourself. Try to be like no one else. I said, ladies, love yourself.
No.
Your man coming home.
you committing suicide too. Now I'ma bring this question back to you.
Huh?
What would you do? How low you gone through? Would you start off new or just keep going through? Come up with a plan and take a stand. You don't need no man, that only
no
you can have. You are beautiful, created by God's hands. I know we all got issues, tears, trials, and tissues. Alright, I'm almost done. Let me leave you with this one. We got 99 problems.
But what?
We got 99 problems, but a blessing gon' come.
You
listen,
ladies, love yourself. Try to be like no one else. I said, ladies, love yourself.
Yeah,
just love yourself. So confidence is key. Beauty with no insecurities. You see, ladies, encourage yourself and be a leader. Inspire others and be a teacher.
Nice. Again, that was DNN with Ladies Love Yourself. Very, very nice. We have the link to the video in the chat room. And I was just chatting in the chat room that a lot of grown ladies need this song. So we're definitely going to make sure that our listeners get access to that. So without further ado, I am going to introduce our special guest. We have on the line Alicia Evans. Alicia, are you on with us?
Yes, I am. Peace.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome. And Alicia has an amazing bio. If I read her bio, it would take the whole hour. So, Alicia, I'm going to give some highlights. Her background is a master's in organizational leadership, as well as minor in communication, women's and gender studies. And Alicia is the owner of LeGray Dynamics, which she is a consulting firm where she specializes in education, e-media, event planning, programming, and facilitation. And through that work, she is an advisor, activist, and community advocate with a strong suit in adolescent development. And thanks to Alicia, she brought the girls to us tonight and supported us in bringing this topic to you this evening. Alicia currently runs the Leading Ladies Service Learning and Sisterhood Group, which we'll hear from tonight, and they cultivate life skills, educational and economic empowerment, partnerships, and adult readiness programs for young ladies. And they have recently become a 4-H club, which I was so excited to see because I was in 4-H when I was a young girl. So I'm glad to see it's evolved into even more. And also, Ms. Evans, Alicia, holds a position as the Health Education Manager for the Metro Council for Teen Potential. So it is very clear, Alicia, that your passion is with our youth, and thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us on here. I really appreciate it. It's just important to get the awareness out there.
Absolutely. I also want to introduce three of the powerful teens that you just heard, DNN. The song that we just played is from the DNN, a hip-hop trio, and they focus on healthy behaviors and lifestyle choices, which you can certainly pick up from every line in the song. And the ladies are Diana, Deja, and I'm going to mess up her name, so Alicia, help me.
Nadeja.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. And these ladies are also participants in the Sisterhood of Leading Ladies in Rochester, New York. So, girls, are you on the line with us?
Yes.
Okay. And I think we have some extra special guests, including Capri Johnson, Diana Brown, and Luna Pierre, and Najaya Harris Henry, also members of the Leading Ladies. So, are you girls there? I want to make sure we got everyone.
Yes.
On. Okay, perfect. So we will, we're just going to go ahead and jump right into tonight's show. I am very, very proud of you ladies, and I'm even that much more proud that you are willing to help other youth and adults learn about how we can handle and the experiences that are out there with teen dating and violence. So tonight, girls, just so you know, we're going to be asking you some questions. You know, just answer freely and as you feel comfortable. As you feel comfortable. Some of our callers, some of our listeners may call in and may have some questions for you. And, of course, we want your input. And you have Ms. Evans on the line to back you up if you need it, so don't be nervous. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the risks of unhealthy relationships and certain obstacles that teens go through in dating. So I'm going to start off with a question. And, you know, Alicia, I'll let you – I'll ask the question, and you can choose the girls to kind of answer in which order so that we can hear everyone.
Okay, that's fine.
But I want to know a little bit from each of you how you became a part of the Leading Ladies. What led you to such a group that empowers young ladies and teens like yourself?
Nyjae, would you like to build upon that since you're one of the founders? And Capri, you can chime in as well.
Yes.
Well, with me, it was Ms. Lisha. She taught at my school. She was teaching me poetry, and I didn't want to let her leave because I was moving on to ninth grade. So I asked her if, like, we could meet offline, and she agreed, and it was a couple of us girls from out of class that wanted to continue to meet with her, write poetry. So she made it happen for us, and since then we just never stopped.
Okay, Capri.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with Nyjae. We started in March of 2010, and that year we did a lot of health tables at community events, and we were just all over working at different tables. And we're just trying to, you know, impact the community and give them the information that they need, you know, teens, adults, and provide, we also do arts and crafts tables for the kids to give the adults a break and let them be creative. So we have been around for some time, and we plan on keeping everything going.
Fantastic. It sounds like you're doing a wonderful job of that. And we certainly need your work. That's great. Now, is there a criteria to be a member of the Leading Ladies group? Like, do you have to go through some type of training? Do you have to apply to be a member?
Well, I'll chime in with that. Because it's a sisterhood piece, typically we have the young ladies, they choose. So if someone hears about it and they're like, I would like to get in, they would contact one of the young ladies. They would probably know one of the leading ladies already in some capacity, and then they kind of make their decision. Typically, it's going to be a family member or a friend, and just because it is very personal, and they do share a lot of their personal information. We actually just had a retreat on this weekend, Friday to Saturday night, so they spend a lot of time together. Luna, would you like to chime in and add anything, or Deja, about how people can join Leading Ladies?
Well, like Alicia said, we kind of pick, but we will be recruiting pretty soon, so you could look out for that. And we just usually people that we feel could contribute or probably get something out of Leading Ladies, we, like, kind of bring you in.
Okay, so you guys train each other, and that's good. It's nice to know that you have a personal group that can be supportive to one another as well as to those in the community. So before the end of the night, we'll make sure that everyone that's listening now or chooses to listen to us a little bit later will have a way of getting in contact with you. Or maybe there are some other young ladies and young men that are interested in forming an organization in their city. And you guys being founders in all of your own organization may be able to help them. So as you guys know, tonight we're talking about violence in teen relationships. And there, you know, in preparation for the show, we took a look at some of the information that's out there and kind of blown away at the fact that so many young people, for example, 1 in 5 women and 1 in 7 men experience some type of violence, and that kind of violence can range from rape to stalking, you know, verbal violence, between the ages of 11 and 17. And that's their first experience happens between the age of 11 and 17. And my goodness, how does that make you guys feel to hear that such 1 out of the 5 of you, you know, just on the line, one of you will have or is expected based on these statistics to be in a situation of violence between the ages of 11 to 17. How does that make you ladies feel?
Diana, would you like to chime in? Or Capri?
I don't know. We may have...
Maybe Diana. Did we lose Diana?
No,
maybe she's... There you go. Feel free to chime in, anyone. It's okay.
Okay.
I think it was Capri that was about to speak.
Okay. Those with going to, I go to a school without walls, so those statistics are pretty scary, because if you just, you know, with me looking around at my peers and just applying those statistics, if it hasn't happened to someone already, then, you know, like you said, it's expected to happen to someone, and not a lot of youth have the same, like, we go through trainings and workshops and things like that. They don't have the same, you know, resources and information that we have. So that's another part of Leading Ladies. We try to, you know, give as much, you know, let people know what's out there in the community. But there are a lot of youth that experience these things, and they don't know what to do and who to turn to. So we do try to promote the, make sure that they have a trusted adult, a teacher, family member, or someone that they can turn to in case something like this happens. So, but those statistics are very scary.
Yeah, they are. Now, Alicia, you deal with teens day in and day out. This age group, 11 to 17, that's home base for you, right?
Yes.
So those numbers, that 1 in 5, 1 in 7, is that real to you? Is that, you know, from your work day in and day out, do those numbers, that resonate with you?
Yes, it is, because within our sisterhood, you know, one of the young women went through an experience, and it affected all of the ladies, and I had to bring in a woman by the name of Imeka Rodriguez from the GROW Institute to come and do some consulting, some trauma consulting with them, and just talk to them and really break it down. They've been through a couple workshops and trainings, which provided great information from our clinical partners with my job, Highland Family Planning here in Rochester. Emily Lynch, she came and did healthy relationships discussions and, you know, healthy versus unhealthy. We've had rape crisis come in from Planned Parenthood to talk about a lot of things. So, you know, giving them that knowledge and that background is definitely important. However, when it's someone you know, when it's a classmate,
right,
when it's a sister, when it's a cousin, an aunt, you know, a brother, you know, it makes it a very different experience versus a workshop. So she came in on 2 separate occasions for several hours and worked with them through some of the challenges that they, you know, experienced vicariously through, you know, whether it be family situations, but also one of the sisters in the group that was going through a couple things. And some of the ladies wanted to help, didn't know how. So, you know, it was really real in that capacity with the Leading Ladies. It was also real just because I go and I do evidence-based programming within the city school district here and in organizations and just various community centers and whatnot. And, you know, almost always in a group of, let's say, 15 to 20, there's always about 3 to 4 people who try to talk to me offline about an experience when we get to certain portions of the evidence-based programming about respecting yourself and ensuring that you're not being, you know, abused or having an adult that you can identify, that you can talk to. So those statistics don't seem off. In some circumstances, in some neighborhoods and in certain organizations and centers, it's alarmingly higher. So
right. That's
just a, you know, that's just like a ballpark figure, but some places it can be even higher than that.
Okay. You know, this is, it is high. Just, you know, just kind of thinking of, and ladies, so, you know, I'm a parent of a teen too, and just thinking of the girlfriends that, you know, come over on the weekend or that we go to the games with and things like that, and thinking you're sitting amongst, 10 girls and, you know, two or more of them could potentially be suffering from violence within their relationship. So that is pretty scary. And just for the context of tonight's show, when we are talking about violence and abuse, we are speaking about verbal abuse, coercion, the stalking, physical abuse, sexual abuse, all of it. It's, you know, it's all negative and unhealthy behavior that we don't want to see in our friendships or our relationships, however we tend to call them as young people. So I'm going to ask you girls, and feel free to answer if you'd like, or if not, we can talk about something else if it's a little too personal. But how, when it came about, when you learned that one of your sisters was in a domestic violence relationship or a violent relationship, how did you guys respond? And if you can share a little bit about that experience, how did she feel? Obviously, you guys are very well, you know, support one another very well, so it's more likely that she would be able to come and talk to you all. But what was your initial reaction? How did you feel when it was someone that you knew and that you were close to?
I'll start off.
Okay.
Well, she told me directly, so I was, like, in shock at first, because knowing the type of person she was, you wouldn't think it would be her. So,
right. Knowing
the time she told
me,
let me interrupt
for 1 second, but when you say, because we hear this a lot, like, we have this idea of what someone who gets abused looks like or acts like. So when you say knowing someone like her, what is she like?
Her personality, she has an aggressive personality, and she doesn't take like a lot from somebody, So when she came and told me, I was emotional about the situation, and I cried with her. And I tried to help her several times. I tried to look for ways to get her out of the situation. I offered her a place to stay. And in those type of situations, everybody's not looking for a way out because they think they're in love or they just don't know how to leave because they're scared of what might happen if they try.
Can you tell us a little bit about what was going on in that relationship?
Well, he was her boyfriend was physically abusing her.
Okay.
And she lived with him, so she felt like she would have a way out. She felt that she was in love with him. So as much as she wanted to leave, she didn't want to leave. So it's like she was torn between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so after you guys, you know, she told you and you had your emotions and you said that you tried helping her get out of the situation. At what point did you seek the support of an adult or a professional?
I went and told, well, I spoke to Ms. Alicia right away about the situation. Because I don't have the resources. Like, I'm still a child myself. I can't go over there and get her. So I told an adult right away. Even though the person didn't want me to tell, I told. because I don't, if it was me in the situation, I want somebody to tell.
Right, right. Yeah. It's amazing that you say that, and I'm very proud of you for doing that. Is your friend okay now?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, good. And I have some other questions for you ladies, but I have to tell you, when I was in the situation myself as a teenager and the same living with my boyfriend at the time, and a lot of what you just said really hits home, wanting to leave, but at the same time thinking that, you know, we could make it work and all that kind of stuff. And when I did share with people going on, even if I came across as, you know, I'm going to fix it, I'm going to handle it, I really did want somebody to come in and just take me out of that situation. So you did the right thing. When a teenager or a young person is sharing with you that they're in an unsafe situation, I think that we do have a duty as friends or a person that cares about them to help the best way that we know how. And it sounds like you went to a trusted adult that was able to help her. Good. Now, those of you that are on the line, the other ladies, if you don't mind sharing either maybe a situation that you yourself have been in where there was some type of unhealthy behavior going on in your relationship or a friend or a peer or even how you felt once you learned that one of your leading lady sisters was in this dangerous relationship, I would like to open up and hear from you guys.
I can share how I felt when I found out what happened.
Okay, can I ask this is so I know who's speaking?
Oh, Capri.
Thank you, Capri. Go ahead.
Just like piggybacking off of Niger, we have, you know, the resources and information, but, you know, in our workshops we get a lot of what if scenarios and hypothetical situations, but then once it's applied to someone that you're close to, you know, I didn't know what role I played in the situation. So I was, you know, initially reacting, what am I to do? How, you know, obviously it's unhealthy. And I was just trying to think, you know, Najee had already shared the information with Miss Alicia. So we were trying to come up with some, you know, some ways to, you know, help our sister get out of this situation. And it's just, you know, when you say, oh, well, if this happened to me or if this happened, you know, everyone has, oh, when it happens or if it happens, but once it happens, you don't know what to do. Even though you have all this information, you still, you don't know how you would handle the situation until it happens. So, you know, I tried my best to help out our sister, and I am glad to know that she is now, you know, safe and stable. So that's my experience.
Good. I also want to commend Alicia, the trust that these girls have in you, to be able to tell you some pretty strong stuff, even put their friendship on the line to make sure that their sister is okay, is really a beautiful thing. And I know that you have an extensive background working with teens, but would you say that all of us could be that trusted adult to teens and young people in our communities?
I think that everyone needs to really understand their purpose and be able to play their position. If you're an adult that can be trusted by youth, you need to basically position yourself so that they see you as a resource, so they see you as an adult, mentor, advisee, auntie, uncle, whatever that they can identify with. I have a colleague that I work with, Tremaine. It was my 9-to-5. We worked together, and he is definitely one of those people who a lot of the young males identify with and are able to talk to. And it's so important because a lot of our young people, they don't have a father in the house. And he often is positioned as that uncle position just by default because they don't have that at school. They don't have that in the guidance counselor. They don't have that on the block, you know. So mm-hmm. being able to really be a person that some of the young people can identify has always been important to me. And I'm thankful that they did approach me about the situation because we were all able to just kind of come together and play our position as, you know, as a group and provide that, you know, unconditional, you know, love and support the best way that we could, you know, from my end, trying to make sure that, you know, she's connected with resources and doing the things she can, finding out where she is, doing drive-bys and checking up, you know, that kind of stuff, just letting everybody know, hey, you know, this lady's not going anywhere, so, you know, that kind of stuff. Some of it's a little bit more grassroots, if you will. But, you know, it's really important, and they all were very, very supportive. For those who did know it, not every single person was privy to all of the details. Some of them just kind of in swoops knew some of the things that were going on, but that love and support definitely was there. And it allowed me to see that bond and honor their bond and their choice in how they want to recruit and their choice in who they want to share their personal secrets and experiences with.
Right. Thank you. So there's a few things that I want to point out from what the ladies and Alicia just mentioned. You know, it's very tough for someone that's, you know, in a relationship with someone that they think or they do love and they feel loves them and they're experiencing these things that are horrific, you know, that people are not aware of. And there are a few things that you guys mentioned. It was just being a support, and at first, you know, maybe she wasn't quite ready, but she was able to identify that something wasn't right, how she was being treated physically was not right enough to share. And it doesn't sound like you guys yanked her out of the situation, but, you know, you slowly and safely addressed it in the best way. So it's important for those that are listening, if you know another young person that's in a situation, being non-judgmental. One of the things that the ladies just said was, this was somebody that they didn't expect. You know, they would not expect that she would be in this type of situation. So we don't know. We don't know what people go through, and we don't know. Sometimes we know our friends, but we don't know their partners very well. And being non-judgmental, being supportive, and being patient with that process, because sometimes leaving can be the most dangerous time in the relationship. So, and also seeking the advice of someone who actually is connected to resources and, you know, can be a long-term support to that person. So, very happy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I just wanted to add that just on the spectrum, this was a really harsh situation for all of us. But, you know, it's unfortunate because a lot of our young people don't even realize some of the lighter things that they see, and they think it's normal, and they actually think it's okay, like the cyber, you know, stalking and, the bullying and the forcing and all of those types of things. So what I've also found is that a lot of our young males and females are actually in abusive relationships and don't even know it.
You know what? So let me we have a call on the line, but before we get to that call, Alicia, let's talk about that. Let's talk about – so we know we've seen images, and we're seeing the images go out now with it being October of violence, of what domestic violence looks like. And these are some real, really, like, horrific pictures of people with black eyes and bloody noses and bloody lips. And that, you know, that's clear-cut abuse. But
–
like you said, the spectrum. So let's talk about the violence that we may not see that looks so dramatic but is just as devastating as a blow to the face. Can you tell us some of those things that we want our young people to be looking out for or to be able to identify, hey, I think I'm in a violent relationship?
Mm-hmm. Nadeja or Diana or Deja, would you guys like to add on at all? We haven't heard your voices.
I think as far as physical abuse, some girls don't know if they're being abused because some girls, they like the aggressive type of guys, and they might think it's cute, but it's really not, and they don't even know that they're being abused. So I think that's one way, girls not knowing.
The point, there is a difference between being assertive and being physically abusive and aggressive, absolutely.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on other types of violence that your friends or people you know may have experienced that others may not pick up on, or they may not even pick up on so quickly?
Would I be able to say something?
Yeah, go right ahead. Show is yours, honey.
Something that I noticed is text messages, you know, the where are you, or, like, repeatedly trying to keep tabs on, you know, a girlfriend or boyfriend. And some people think, oh, he or she just cares about me. They want to know that I'm safe. Or, you know, I need to talk to you from the time you get out of school until we fall asleep on the phone. And just keeping in constant contact. And people realize, you know, they think, oh, it's okay. You know, we're in a relationship. We're supposed to talk to each other all the time. And then the isolation factor, I want to be with you, you know, spend time with me. Let's do this. Let's hang out. And then you don't realize that, you know, you're not hanging out with your friends as much or you're not paying attention during family dinners because he or she's always texting you. And just things like, oh, we're supposed to spend time here. Things that people feel are normal, when they become extreme, some young people don't realize it. They just think that their boyfriend or girlfriend is caring about it. This is how they show that they, you know, like them or love them or whatever it may be. And once it becomes that extreme and, you know, an outburst or something happens, why didn't you answer my call or you didn't text me back or, you know, I am back, whatever the case may be, they think that it's okay when it's really not.
Right. You're absolutely right. Wow. That you hit it right on the head. I couldn't have said it better myself. That control that person tries to have over you is a form of abuse, and it starts to affect your family life, if you have a job, your school, and they're always taking up all of your time and don't want you hanging out with your friends and family. You got it, and it's the same in adult relationships as well. I want to say to the parents that are on the line, pay attention to those patterns. You know, what we may have considered puppy love, you know, back then, oh, they just always want to be with each other. But nowadays with the technology, you know, there's a way that someone can really keep absolute tabs on your child and be stalking them as, you know, that's what I call it, with the constant messages and where are you and all of that through the telephone, the IM, you know, Facebook, what have you. Or they're constantly telling you what to do on your social media and who you can talk to and who you can friend, those acts of control. So as parents, we need to be very mindful. For me, I have no problem taking the telephone and going through those messages and going into the Facebook and seeing what type of conversations are taking place in order to protect my child. So we have a caller on the line. Nikki, can you put her through? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Welcome to the Emotion Picture. What's your name and how old are you?
My name's Nani and I'm 13.
Hi, Nani, and welcome to the show. So have you been listening in to the ladies share their experiences and their thoughts on dating violence?
Yes, I've been listening, and after hearing, like, the stories, and it kind of brought to mind that something that happened to one of my friends last year in school.
Okay, tell us about it.
I have this friend, and she had a boyfriend, and they were going out since, like, fifth grade, and he asked her to send him pictures of herself naked over the internet, and she did, and he showed them to everybody in the seventh grade. And she was so embarrassed that she started cutting herself, trying to kill herself because of the embarrassment. And me and my friend decided that enough was enough and that we were going to tell someone because we didn't want her to die. So we told the guidance counselor, and she had to go to therapy. And now that after she didn't want us to tell, but we told anyway, and now she's, like, doesn't talk to us because of that we told. But even though that she's not my friend, I still know that I did the right thing because I would rather her not be my friend than her be dead.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's powerful. You're right. Thank you, Nani, for sharing that. And your friend is also the same age as you? She's 13?
Yes.
Okay. So you and your girlfriend did the right thing by making sure that she's safe and she's alive and she's here. And I'm sure maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but when she has some time to think about it and see how far she's come, she will be wanting to be your friend. I want to be your friend. So thank you. Do you hear things like that often, Nani, like different experiences where guys and girls are not having healthy behavior in their relationships, in their friendships?
No, this was actually like something like the first that ever happened like this at my school. So it was like something different that happened. It was like the only time this ever happened before.
Okay. And I hope it's the last time that it ever happens for sure. But thank you so much for sharing that. Please continue to listen. We enjoy having you on. And if you have any other questions, you call right back up, okay?
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, so ladies, we're gonna shift gears just a little bit. I'm going to talk about some of the risk of having an unhealthy relationship and who it may increase for. So already we know that just, you know, being boys and girls and learning how to be in such close relationships, there is, as we looked at the statistics, you have a high chance of experiencing some form of violence. But we're going to talk just a little bit about how that may increase for certain teens. And, again, this is a opportunity for parents or mentors or people that have any interaction with young adults to have your ears perk up because you want to be in tune to if your teen may be at higher risk. So these may be teens that believe it's okay to use threats or violence to get their way, or they usually express themselves in a way of frustration or anger. So one of the girls, and I'm sorry, I can't keep up with you lovelies, but mentioned some women may like, or some girls may like, an aggressive type of guy.
Nadeja.
So you may want to, okay, yeah. It was Nadeja, thank you.
Yes.
So that might be someone who, you know, is a little boisterous at school or gets into fights with other guys or has a way of expressing themselves rather angrily. You know, this person may not do very well either in a personal relationship. Also, those who use alcohol and drugs, that heightens the chance for violence in any type of relationship. Those that may be depressed or anxious. So if you're already experiencing some mental health issues or just feelings and hormonal issues, it can increase your risk of being in an unhealthy relationship. Those that maybe don't have a lot of parental supervision or support. So Alicia mentioned some of the young men without a father figure or those that are in relationships and may be isolated because of their relationships and no one really is paying attention to what's going on. And also those teens who may be witnessing violence at home or in their community. Again, Alicia, you mentioned that some of the certain pockets of communities have an even higher prevalence of dating violence. And that could be because of also a higher rate of domestic violence amongst the adults in that community.
Mm-hmm.
And also that already have a history of aggressive behavior or bullying. So, you know, these are just some little warning signs or things to keep your eyes peeled for. with our teens as they start to learn how to be in interpersonal relationships. And then there's an additional category, and we can spend some time on here too, that some of our teens may be in lesbian, gay, or bisexual, transgender relationships. So same-sex relationships have an even higher risk of being in a violent relationships and not seeking help because they already are under a stigma, and also because of just folks maybe not believing that, you know, two girls can be violent towards one another, or two men can, one can be in control of the other. So these are just some things that we want to kind of keep our eyes open for. So I want to talk to you ladies a little bit about, you know, we can talk about all the bad stories, but we have a little bit of time left, and I want to ask you all, especially those that I haven't heard from tonight, after having the training workshop and the domestic violence awareness, how do you feel, you know, do you feel like you're better prepared to identify a relationship going bad?
For me, yes, but then again, no, because I'm only going to know when I'm actually, like, dealing with that relationship. It's, like, recognizing if I'm being abused or not. Like, I just think it's based on who you are. Like, you can have all of the resources in the world, but you don't really use them, you know, properly unless you, like, you can recognize. And some girls, they really can't recognize. So I think it's all based on you, because you can never be prepared. So I think it's all based on you. So I'm prepared,
okay,
but I'm always, like, you know, sometimes I can always be blindsided.
Well, I know for sure you're more prepared most so, but good point. Anyone
well, one
else?
Thing I will say about Nadeja real quick is that she will ask questions. If she's concerned,
mm-hmm,
she will say, hey, Miss Alicia, what do you think about this, you know? So in the day,
mm-hmm,
you may say you're not sure, but you definitely have that spark and that spirit that is going to check you if you have any questions about things. So that's a positive attribute.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Any of the other ladies want to share? Do you feel like through your trainings, your workshops, or just talking as girls about the type of things that you're better prepared to identify being in a relationship going bad?
For me, it's like I know everything. Like, I pay attention to the training, and I can identify and see when something's not right, or if it's not how it's supposed to be, like if it's not the picture I want it to be. But like Nadeja said, sometimes anybody can also be blinded by what they want and how they want somebody to be towards them, or how they want to be in a relationship, and they will try to, but they will want to fix someone, but they can't. But you know when something is wrong, but you don't want to believe it's wrong, so you try and fix it and to make it into something right. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, it does. It makes absolute good sense. So I'll share with you girls and those that are listening something that that I think I would like to say worked for me, or at some point the light bulb turned on. But I had known about domestic violence through, you know, just really just through advertisements and things that I, you know, learned maybe in health and school or in October when they would put posters and billboards up. And very much like you girls said, you know, I was so in love, like, you know, there's no way that, you know, what he just did was abuse. That was just, you know, me making a situation that he reacted to, and he's mad and everything's going to be better tomorrow. And, you know, that kind of went on for a while. But at some point, you know, I was able to pick up on the pattern. It wasn't that I didn't know what was happening. I just didn't know how to get out of it and how to make it stop. And it just started to get worse and worse and worse. And then, of course, like I told you all earlier, I had a child out of that relationship, so it just made it even that much more tough emotionally and physically and financially to leave. But I think the awareness that you all have and that you're sharing with other young ladies and young people in your community is so important. Because once you are aware and once you do know what's going on, or even you see a red flag before you get into that relationship, you're better off. And one of the things that helped me is that when I was ready, those the ads that I saw, I remembered some of those resources, and I definitely used them. So please continue to do what you're doing for other young people like yourself, and don't downplay. I think you guys are certainly prepared, and you have a great support system in your corner. I don't want to hear that any of you are one of the five, and hopefully we can create some better statistics next time we get together and talk. So I'm going to, speaking about resources, I want to let you guys know that are listening, if you know a teen that's in a situation, or you yourself, or you're a parent, and maybe there's a kid that spends a lot of time at your house and you think could use some resources, there is a National Dating Abuse Hotline, and this is for young people. This is not, you know, obviously anyone can call, but if you're a young person, they know the issues that you may be having, and they are prepared to help someone that is, you know, not an adult. So the number to the National Dating Abuse Hotline is 1-866-331-9474, and we'll have that available to you online as well. You can reach them at their website, loveisrespect.org. Again, that's loveisrespect.org. Or you can text the word love is, the words love is, to the number 22522. So if you want more information, you need to help a friend, you need to get yourself some help or another person you may know, contact the National Dating Abuse Hotline. For those of you that will forget that and won't go back online, a very easy resource that I always use every time we have a serious topic on the show is 211. Every city, every state in the country has a 211 operator that will pick up and give you a resource in your community to at least get you started. Or if you live in Rochester, New York, find Miss Alicia Evans, and she'll help you. So, again, you know, reach out to your friends. You know, if they're truly your friends, like these ladies on the line and the lovely lady that called in just a few moments ago, they will find you help. We want you to be well, and they will support you. So before we tell everyone how they can reach you, Alicia Girls, do you want to tell us about some upcoming projects that you guys have going on with your organization?
Well, basically we're getting ready to look into some new projects. We're pretty project-based when it comes to some of the videos that are done and things of that nature. But we still have the Ladies Love Yourself project, which is still going on in the Leading Ladies Poetry PSAs, and we'll be having they'll be doing a radio show in December. And then they will also be having a video release for the family members and everybody to come out and have a nice time. And all of the partners from the project in January getting ready to kick off for the new February Teen Dating Violence Awareness campaign this late winter. And we recently just started getting back together to meet in October, so I try to give them voice and let them come up with what they want to do, and we're still in the infancy stages for, you know, new projects.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you ladies are very, very busy, and we want to be a part of all your development, so please keep us in the know. We will share your contact information with our listeners in case they may be interested in supporting your efforts or learning more from you. Again, it is October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Please do what you can to spread awareness. You can find the Leading Ladies on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ Leading Ladies ROC. They have a Twitter at Lady Leaders ROC. So Twitter, Lady Leaders ROC. They have a Tumblr, Leading Ladies Rochester. And also a YouTube, so you can find them at DNN Rock. You can find Alicia's LeGray Dynamics company at LeGray Dynamics on Twitter and also on Instagram, LeGray Dynamics. If you don't have a pen and paper and you're not sure, come on over to the Emotion Picture on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and we will have all of their information available. Remember, take care of each other, take care of yourself, and when in doubt, check out the National Dating Abuse Hotline, loveisrespect.org. Thank you, ladies, for being on, sharing your stories with us. I want to let everyone know that Monday, November 4th, at the Fat Buddha in New York City, we are having a panty party, which all donations of underwear will go to the Center Against Domestic Violence in Harlem. And stay tuned for an episode of the Mahi Club. Thank you so much. Everyone, take care and good evening.
Thank you. Peace.
The end. Yeah, new joint. We coming back with a new track. You already know. For the ladies. Ladies, just love yourself. Make you do it. CNN, yeah.
Okay. Ladies, love yourself. Try to be like no one else. I said, ladies, love yourself.
Yeah.
Just love yourself. Some confidence is key. Beauty with no insecurity. You see, ladies, encourage yourself and be a leader. Inspire others and be a teacher.
Young ladies, cross sex, being in love. Your man makes you feel like you're such a bug.
Blessing gonna come. Listen, ladies, love yourself. Try to
be like no one else. I said, ladies, love yourself.
Today, Jazz.
I am doing well. It's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but we are back where we belong, right?
I suppose. I kind of would rather be where I was a week ago.
Well, I think we're about to get into that then. I think we need to update everybody on what's been going on with Jet Set and Jasmine and Central on the Wall, because we've definitely been doing what your name suggests and jet setting all over the globe.
That we have. Tonight on the Mile High Club, we are going to do just that, share a little bit about our previous Spanish Light. And we're dedicating this show to all of our jazzy girls and couples and whatnot. We want to tell you guys a little bit more about what we do, exactly what is a Fantasy Flight, and how you can be on one with us. And also, we have a lot of exciting new things coming up, so I think we should be able to cover that tonight. How about you, King?
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem at all.
So King and I are just getting back from an absolutely amazing trip in California. We spent 2 weeks out there treating the ladies, and really, just I think that we gave California a treat, having some really fun events and meeting some amazing people. So, King, I will let you give the shout out, and then I'll jump in just in case we forget anybody.
All right. Well, then, first and foremost, I'd like to send a big shout out to a former guest of our show, Ms. Sativa Rhodes, for showing us a good time and the effects of Patron when we were out there. And where were we? Was that Covina?
We were in Covina.
Yeah, in Covina.
Anywhere between Covina and Chino, they have great tequila.
So, yes, big shout out to Sativa, who actually fulfilled the fantasy of one of our guests on one of our previous shows. So if you get a chance, check that out. And also, all the good people up at Cal Exotics. We got to actually take Jazz to pretty much what was it was like taking you back to the source at the where all jazz comes from, you know, the vault of all dildos and whatnot.
It was more than just dildos, but that was like being in a candy store, a toy store. It was great. So Cal Exotics is the number one distributor, manufacturer of adult toys, and it was like being like at the North Pole for me. We got spend a lot of time with a lead sexpert, Nicole Grossman, Desiree Duffy. We met up with Mark Jackson and Al Bloom, all the movers and shakers in the adult toy industry, and just had a really great time out there, so I really appreciate them.
Yes, and you are already a sexpert blogger for Cal Exotics, so people can check out your blogs on different toys by Cal Exotics, and hopefully I will be joining your ranks soon.
What do you mean, hopefully? You will be. So, yes, everybody, look forward to King's blog. It's going to be real. I'm looking forward to your blog because to hear a man's perspective, I mean, we talk and things at the fantasy site, but to see it in writing and see what they send you and how you choose to use it, that's going to be really fun to read. So
I hope they send me all kinds of S&M products. That's
wow.
What I want. When we were up there and I got to see their new Scandal line, I was very interested and hopeful that'll be some of the stuff they're sending me. But also, we are going to be carrying their products, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit about joking.
I do, actually. So I'm ready to take all of our jazzy girls to a new level of adult toys and just fun things to introduce either for yourself or with a partner. Toys are always great shared. And there's a new line by the name of Jopin. That's open with a J. We were trying to make it really fancy. What were we saying? Like
Jopin.
Yeah. it's just Jopin. But the line is very fancy, very sleek, soft, elegant. And actually the motto is like form, function, and fantasy. So it's definitely in line with all of my classy clients. And it's really nice that to have a dildo that looks like a piece of furniture, like a exquisite. You know, you never know.
Looks,
in my
it
house
looks like
now,
art.
It does. In my house, you don't know if you're picking up, you know, a vase or last night's toy. So be careful what you put your hands on. So who else did we get to hang out with? Those are definitely some great highlights of the trip.
The amazing Lady Savage.
Yes. Oh,
the amazing
man.
Lady Savage, who always finds a way to get me naked whenever we're doing a photo shoot.
See, now, when you did the photo shoot with her before, I thought, like, you know, like, you were the one that was all pushing, taking off your clothes and stuff, because I know how you are. But that woman is magical. She was wonderful. She did a photo shoot for us, and can't thank her enough for using her talent and her time and being patient with, especially with me. But King, you went like downstairs for 2 seconds and came back up, and I was hanging out of a window, butt naked.
Bucket naked.
What did that woman do to me?
I don't know. When she pulls out her camera, people get naked.
Yeah.
I think that's part of her talent.
And
she probably got a casting couch somewhere that we don't know about.
We probably were on her casting couch and don't even know it. So we cannot speak about Lady Savage and her talented lens without mentioning the fact that she shot she shot hundreds of amazing pictures of you. But one in particular has made its way into Vogue Italia. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Model masseuse king that you are.
Oh, thank you very much. It's really surprising. She was like, yeah, I submitted it to Vogue Italia, and she was like, they picked it up. They said it's her first, she said it was her first model shoot that got picked up by Vogue Italia. So hopefully this means we will be doing a fantasy flight in Naples and Venice real soon.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, we need to get out there. But again, wonderful job.